and welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast that for another year, kicking off your 2022, will be bringing you many, many more reviews, recaps, spoiler-free recommendations for whatever we happen to read this year. A whole new year of books, Amy.
Woohoo! I'm so excited. And we're beginning this year with romance novels.
We are, which I like. We've read so many romance novels over the summer. Because it is summer down here in Australia and it is very, very hot. So, Amy, while you were cooling off, what did you read this week?
I read A Summer to Remember by Mary Balog.
Balog? Balog.
Balog? B-A-L-O-G-H.
Yeah, I don't think that can be Balog.
Take advice on how to pronounce it. Which was also a recommendation.
This one also came from Tara, our Canadian...
Prolific recommender.
Prolific best Thanks, friend Tara. Of the podcast. And mostly it came to her as... She recommended it as, I can't believe you guys haven't read Mary Balog, or have you and you've just never reviewed her? And yeah, she is just one of those romance authors who kind of fell between the cracks of our romance
Our intense
adventure.
Pursuit of Julia Quinn, who and, hasn't published
Gracie,
anything for ages.
I know.
Let's talk about a different romance novel author, yes, Mary Balog.
Who is also very prolific. And we, at Tara's suggestion, have kind of dipped our toe into the pond of Mary Balog by starting with A Summer to Remember, which is actually the second in a series.
It's the second of the prequels to the multi-novel series, The Bedouins.
Yeah, which is the neighbours, the group of neighbours.
Yeah.
I think this would be filled with kind of like Easter eggs and stuff in the same way that the Bridgerton prequel series is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the Rokesbys.
The Rokesbys.
Yeah. Okay.
But all of those were totally lost on us. So in full disclosure, if you're someone who's super into Mary Balog, you're going to listen to this recap and probably be thinking, she sounds like she's never read anything else by
this
author.
That's
true. And that's totally true. That's why I sound like this. So if I'm confused, it is the ignorance of someone who is coming into a series at the very end and then asking questions, like people who come in and like the fourth Star Wars movie and are like, why is he angry? What happened to his hand? And you're like, shut up! That's who we are.
That's Jedi. Okay, so spoiler-free recap, I'm going to start by saying...
Please start. Please give us your customary contribution.
Here it is. It is Regency England and we are in the midst of the Peninsular Wars against Napoleon are going on. So England is at war, which is very important because a lot of the male characters in this novel
have been impacted by
the war. Have either been impacted by it or have fought in it.
Yeah.
So the hero of this novel, whose name is Kit Butler, he's a Lord Raven something.
They're all Lord Raven something.
He has returned from the peninsula where he's been essentially like a spy.
Yeah, you need to stop.
I stopped. That was my pause.
This book actually doesn't start with Kit. It starts with Lauren, who is the chickadoodle in it.
The heroine?
Sure.
Let's just call him the chickadoodle. Lauren the chickadoodle, Miss Lauren Edgeworth.
Yes. She is...
plagued with well-meaning relatives.
Oh, my goodness. Are you doing the recap or am I doing the recap?
Well, hurry up then.
I am putting it in order so that we don't, like, overwhelm everyone with unnecessary details.
I always put it in chronological order and then you're like,
that's not chronological order.
Hurry up.
Oh, my goodness. Fine. So, no, her well-meaning relatives are not the problem here. We meet Lauren when she is in London trying to overcome a massive social scandal and embarrassment that happened in the previous book, right?
Yeah.
So Lauren's backstory, which you need to know very quickly, is that her mum remarried into this other kind of ducal or earldom family and then went away on a honeymoon and
never returned.
So they were like, what do we do with Lauren? And Lauren ended up living with the relatives of her stepdad. So no blood relative at all, but they took her in and they raised her along with their children, which was a girl and a boy. Like they were all their kids and that was it. So Lauren was quite young when her mum and stepdad disappeared, never heard from again. She assumes they died at sea. So she, as she grew older, it was kind of always assumed that she would marry the male heir of that family.
Yes.
Who was kind of no blood relation. So they weren't stepbrothers, sisters, they weren't any relation, cousins, nothing like that. But they had grown up together like brother and sister. So they had a deep, deep love for one another. But Lauren had always assumed that she was being raised and kind of groomed to be the, whatever it was, like the Duchess or the, I can't remember whatever they were. So she is very prim and proper and preparing herself for this very respectful life. In the previous book, spoilers for that, sorry, it's just the way it is, he had gone to the peninsula and been like, to go to war, and had been like, don't wait for me.
It's not a spoiler, it's on the blurb of that book.
Yeah, he was like, don't wait for me. Like, you live your life, fall in love, don't go, you do you. But she totally was like, no, I will wait for you. He marries while he's over there for like romance novel reasons, and then thinks that that wife is dead, that she has died. So when he comes back, he's like, well, the love of my life is dead. I may as well marry Lauren because she clearly expects me to.
And I like her.
And I like her and love her because it's a like a brotherly love. And they would have got along quite well. Anyway, at their wedding ceremony, to which the entire London aristocracy was invited and in attendance, when it got to that bit.
Does anyone here know an impediment?
I do. His wife burst in and he was like, and et cetera.
And they run. And Lauren, I'm very in love,
which was even worse because they have a love that Lauren recognizes she and him did not. Never shared.
But she is sort of left as this scandal.
She's left as an embarrassment. Like, it's not a scandal in that people think less of her. It's a scandal insofar as everyone pities her and she doesn't want their pity. And more importantly for her character, the reason why I feel like all of this was required in the spoiler-free recap is the central kind of point for her character is she spent her whole life being the perfect child and the perfect lady in order to prepare herself for what she thought was her future, but that future is no longer hers. And because she had spent her whole life preparing for marriage to this one man, she is like, I will not marry. There was no one else for me. I'm not going to go fall in love with someone else. He was the love of my life. I'm done. So she is preparing she's hanging out with a friend of hers, a relative of hers, who's about to have a baby. They're all his relatives. Yeah.
They're all sort of connected, which is sort of...
She's very alone in the world, yes. But she's with a friend in London who's about to have a baby and she's just there to kind of keep her company. But she's avoiding the aristocracy and the ton. And her plan is that at the end of that, her kind of duty to her friend, she is going to use her small fortune that she has from her mum to set up an establishment in Bath and essentially retire from having to have people pity her or look at her face.
Yeah, she'll just settle into spinsterdom in Bath and be her own person.
And so her path collides with Kit because he is in London having been quite damaged from his time at the peninsula, and he would be still at war doing his thing if his older brother hadn't died and left him the heir, so he had to return.
His father has recalled him.
So, and he has enough kind of gentlemanly duty that he did that. But he's now kind of just like being a rake hell in London because he's had a big falling out with his family, which I'm not going to go into because it is kind of spoilery and it is quite late in the book that you find out about it. He has had a falling out with his family and he kind of wants to like show up or like annoy his dad. So one of the ways he decides to do it is so he's been kind of like summoned home after having been kind of ostracized or banished.
Yeah, he thinks banished.
And he knows that his dad is going to be like, here's the person I want you to marry. So he wants to go down there already married. So he wants to find someone very respectable to irritate his dad to marry so his dad can have kind of no objections to the lady and already turn up it being like already done. So his friends are all like, there's no one respectable who will marry you. And they essentially dare him or bet him to woo and marry
the unmarriageable
the unmarriageable lady, Lauren Edgeworth. And not unmarriageable because she's ugly or horrible or a spinster or anything like that. Their argument is she will not have you. You are a scandal with legs. And she's going to take one look at you from her icy tower of ladiness and be like, I am having none of you, sir. So he then starts pursuing her. Now we hit into Amy's very well-meaning relatives who are like, stay away from him. Don't accept a dance from him. Give him the cut direct. And they're so overbearing about
it. But they also are like presenting, here's a worthy young man for you to dance with. So they're curating her social experience as they take her to balls and force her to sort of interact in society.
And essentially it's about identity because they are providing her with people they feel like are appropriate for a sheltered, meek little lady of a person, but she's only pretended to be that all this time because
that's what she was raising herself to be.
And fear of rejection from her kind of adopted family should she not be the perfect child and the perfect lady. So she's been doing that her whole life and now is just kind of got the hell in with it. So every time they're like, don't dance with Kit, what's his face? She accepts whatever offer or dance or thing.
Don't go on a drive with him. We're going on a drive. No, I'm going. And she's like, no, you're all wrong.
I'm going to go with him. Yeah. Thanks. So she's kind of allowing herself to spend time with him literally not to spite, but as a kind of show of defiance and independence and personality. So she starts getting like in touch with this version of herself that actually gets to kind of have fun. And she's finding she can have fun not doing everything strictly by the rules or strictly the way a lady would. So kind of a third of the way into the book is when the next kind of stage starts. And that's, he kind of puts all his cards on the table and is like, this is what I was trying to do. Cause she's like, what is this? You clearly aren't attracted to me. Like, what is your problem? And he just tells her the truth. And she goes, in return for a summer to remember, the title, I will come with you to your family estate and pretend we're engaged. And at the end of the time,
I will break the engagement
because you can't. So I know that the act of entering into a fake engagement with me means that your gentlemanly honor I actually could trap you in this marriage if I didn't. So he has to trust her to walk away when the time is right. And he does. And because she's eminently trustworthy, for sure. So that's what they do. Then they go off to his country estate and he gives her a summer to remember. And she kind of sets out to help him repair his relationship with his family. And in the process, find out who she is and who she could possibly be now that everything she thought she was and everything she'd been preparing for has come crashing down around her. And that's essentially what it's about. That's it.
I think that's the longest spoiler-free recap this podcast has ever experienced.
I agree, but it's also one of the longest romance novels I have read in a long time.
I am a very quick reader of romance novels. I read this was my Boxing Day. I'm going to sit on the sofa. The dog can pass out next to me because she's so exhausted by Christmas, and I'm just going to read a romance novel. Last year, I got through three on Boxing Day because the average romance novel takes me 3 hours.
Fair.
This... 7 hours.
Yeah.
I'm a quick reader.
Yeah.
So
it took me ages. Just warning you. Yeah, it took me a really long time.
It has a lot of detail in it.
Yeah, I will say it's not a case of, so everything I kind of have put in the spoiler-free recap is set up. That's the setup for when the story kind of really begins, which is when they go to his family estate. But that takes a third of the book to do that amount of setup.
Yeah.
So I will say that while it is quite a long novel, when we were talking about it kind of before we started recording, a lot happens. There's so many things happen that in my head I think I had almost attributed to other books, but I was like, oh, no, that's also this book. Mm. So a lot of things, yeah, a lot of things happen in the book, yes. Mm. So, Amy, oh, my gosh, so much talking on my end.
I want a lot of talking on your end. You better make your recommend or not recommend be real quick.
I will. What were your thoughts and would you recommend or not?
So... I did my usual have a cry.
I cried
a fair few times in this book because of like some of the reasons we find out, you know, why he's having his sort of family dramas and things like that. I feel like you will absolutely disagree with me, but I actually quite enjoyed it.
Okay.
I felt it was really long.
I love these ones, listeners, because we have not had a chance
to talk about it beforehand.
Sometimes we do. Sometimes we discuss it beforehand. But this is one of those cases where you're giving me your recommendation without having any idea what I thought of the book and vice versa. Yeah, go.
I enjoyed the characters.
Yeah.
And I also quite enjoyed, there were some interesting characters around her, so I quite liked her family.
Yeah.
I did not like the family of neighbours that Kit had, who are actually
the focus of
the following series, which is about the Bedouins. I found them all
atrocious,
quite annoying. I mean, some of them sort of got a bit less irritating as it went on.
The brother was alright.
So I'm just going to say that I'm not going to read that series. And normally I buy and I continue reading a series when I begin one. I won't engage with them because I didn't like their characters. I felt that the story was didn't Tara say that she felt this was actually quite standalone?
I think she did. That's why she recommended it to us.
I agree.
Yeah.
This was quite contained for me and I enjoyed that. I really liked that point in the novel where, you know, he's, you know, doing this campaign of wooing because his friend's like, she won't have you. And she went, come on. And I really liked that he actually told her.
I liked that too.
I liked that he put all his cards on the table.
And was actually quite apologetic and was like, actually, the fact that I've made you the object of a bet, the fact that I even did that, like, you're a person. And he actually says that. He's like, I think I forgot you were a person.
Yeah.
But I hadn't met you and you were just a name. And now that I know who you are, I actually feel dreadful for having done this.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Yeah.
And I quite liked that because I could feel it being the sort of barrier between them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God, don't do that to us. So I quite liked his character.
Yeah.
She took a little bit longer to grow on me.
I think she took longer to become more of a real person.
And
because
maybe
she
was
so much the facade she had built around herself.
But that was sort of the narrative. She was trying to find out who she actually was. And I enjoyed the bits that made me cry were obviously his sort of trying to, I guess, come to terms? No, mend the bridges? What am I trying? What's the phrase here?
Mend his fences with his family.
Yeah.
And reconnect with them.
So it's hard. You know how hard I struggle with not giving any spoilers. I would read a follow-up or continuing story about some of her rallies. I have no desire. Like, this is number two in the prequels.
Yeah.
The first one is about the guy who left her at the altar.
Yeah.
No desire to read that book.
Nah, me neither. I feel like I don't want to read it where she's not the heroine. I don't want to read about the
other
chick.
Maybe if we read that first, we might have been like, oh, my God, I need to know
Lauren's
story.
I would have. Yeah, maybe.
But we read this and I'm like, Neville, I don't need to know about you and I actually don't care about your wife who's emerged from
me
the past.
Neither.
But I would read about her cousin, whose name I think was Gwen, and I would read about her other cousin whose name was Joseph and who was very, like, trying to be nice but being way too squashingly protective.
Yes.
So I'd read stories about them and I quite liked some of the characters
there
around
There is
her.
One about Kit's brother.
I assumed there would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not there. He goes away. It's no one, like, it's he goes away on a totally different adventure in, like, Wales.
Yes. So overall, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I felt content when, after 7 hours, I finished it.
Ah.
And I felt like reading more romance novels, which is good.
Which is good. A romance novel that leaves you wanting to read more romance novels was
so
successful.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I know I'll probably reread it, which is good because you also purchased it. So what do you think?
I think I really liked it.
Did you?
I did, and I knew this was going to surprise and shock you.
I am very surprised.
I think like my journey with this book needs to be a part of like my explanation here, very briefly, because we said I would do it.
Yeah, you took forever on that summary.
So when I started reading it, I found him really irritating and her really irritating because I found them both to be total fakes.
Yes.
Like,
so this would be about,
I
would say,
his, the 16%
in the book.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
was where you paused.
Yes.
29%, there was a massive pause and I
but
was like,
for
is
weeks,
she finished?
Like, I put it down. I put the book down and I was like, I don't think I'm coming back to it because I hate those ones that are totally about them lying to each other for most of the book. And
that was why
end,
I really liked that he put his cards. That was a turning point.
That was my turning point too. And I really liked her character where she was like, look, I'm going to stop you right there because you don't know me. So the part where you're like extolling my virtues and leading up to being like, I think I'm in love with you, this is so fake. it's actually offensive. And he was like, oh my God.
And then he thinks about it.
This is offensive. Yeah. And she was like, I just think I deserve better than this. And he was like, you do. Everybody does. Why would I treat someone like this? I loved that revelation. And for me, that was the first proper moment where she wasn't just knee-jerk doing stuff to irritate her relatives. And he wasn't just knee-jerk seducing her because someone told him he couldn't. That's what annoyed me to begin with in this book, was that both of their character kind of pivot points was, you're telling me I can't,
so
watch
I'm going
me do
to.
It, even if I don't really want to do it and it's not in my best interest and I'm not having a fun time, watch me do it anyway. I hate that. I hate that so deeply. In the same way that I hate this idea that we should behave in a certain way to please other people, the idea that you're behaving in a certain way to not please other people, if either one of those is making you miserable, stop doing it. It drives me insane. I think, again, this comes back to...
It's a common trope. It commonly
common
appears.
Common trope, common human thing that we do. It drives me nuts. You need to be self-possessed enough to kind of, you know, take actions based on what it is you're trying to achieve, what you want out of life.
But that takes a long time, though, for people to realize.
I understand that, but they weren't children. Drove me nuts.
Okay.
It really annoyed me.
But I did notice that once we hit 30%, it was like a day between that and the end. You
absolutely
smashed it.
Once they went to his family estate and they both stopped being totally fake and stupid about everything, it was great. So what I would say is, and I liked it for all the same reasons you did, I thought his cast of family were awesome. I thought the interactions between him and his family, which mostly centered around this idea of everyone hurting and not being able to communicate or talk about the way they felt, like what they were trying to deal with, were such big emotions, in both in terms of the pain that they had as a family and in terms of, you know, like shame and love and loss and grateful, like being deep gratitude for having each other, blah, blah, blah. All huge, massive, complicated emotions that this family were totally ill-equipped to deal with. And then when it all fell apart, no one knew how to put it back together. So I found that totally relatable and totally realistic. And it made me just love all of his family. And I loved him more in that context.
You know what I really
well.
Liked about his character as well was that I remember a line going, he was like, really cheerful and he was able to find a lot of joy in things. And she was going, that actually isn't a mask.
Yeah.
That's
I
part
liked
of
that
him.
Too. That's
he
that's
has
part
this
of
unhappiness,
who you are.
But he has this.
But it's still, yeah, I liked that he wasn't using that to mask pain. It was actually, that's just built in. He is a joyful kind of human.
Yeah.
And I loved that his kind of journey then to help her come out of her ladylike shell and give her experiences that normally she would be like, no, no, ladies don't do that, and kind of cajole her into having a go. I liked the way that was dealt with because I was worried that was going to be a little bit of him forcing her to do things and then her being like, oh, I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? I hate that. I hate that full stop. I really dislike it. Whereas he just gave her opportunities to try new things and was like, be brave. Remember how you told me that you wanted to be brave? This is one of those moments where you could choose bravery. And it was always, I liked as well that those moments actually were not romance or sex related.
No,
that's
they weren't.
Super important,
it was things
I think.
Like climbing a tree.
Exactly. So it wasn't things he was necessarily getting something out of. So it didn't feel like he was doing it for his own benefit. It really was just because she had asked him for adventure and he was like, hey, this is that adventure. Yep. If you want it, take it. It
so
was
they were
kind
realistic
of that.
Little moments.
Totally realistic. Yeah. And it made, as the book went on, she became a real person and he became a real person and it was lovely. And then their impediment, particularly when you know what it is, when you understand how their relationship kind of started, how the agreement started. Mm. And so she didn't want to trap him into something and blah, blah, blah. So it all just worked. Yeah, I really liked it. I liked all the characters. I liked her family.
I liked her family. They were all really well-meaning.
They were all had her
and they
best
had a lot
interests
of love
at heart
for
as
her.
Well.
And yeah. None of them were blood relations, which I loved.
I loved that too. I really loved that too. And yeah, anyway, it was just really well-written and I felt like it was written by an author who really understood not just romantic relationships but friendships and helping each other as human beings overcome grief or the ruts we leave ourselves in or identity. Like, it, I thought it dealt with a lot of themes quite well, and I thought the dialogue was excellent.
So here's a question for you. Will you read more Mary Ballow, we've decided?
Yes, I will read. I think I could read her again. What I will say is I don't think I want to participate in any more in this series. I feel like
there's a novella about the cousin that I've purchased.
Which, like, the
cousin
Gwen.
Joseph.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'll read a novella about the cousin. But, yeah, I don't think I want to read the one about Kit's brother. I don't want to read about the Bedouins.
No.
They were real mean. So I think I'm done with this kind of, this universe of hers, but I would certainly read another series written by her. I think she's a good author.
So thanks, Tara, for making us engage with a whole new
also,
author.
Also, can I say, excellent pick, because we would never have engaged with the second book in a prequel series about another family. Do you know what I mean? We'd never have picked up this book. So I have to do a big, like, thank you to her, because this was a very well-picked book. This was an excellent one, I think, to start with. Great characters, really well-written.
This woman is prolific. I think she's written about 100 books.
She's written a million bazillion things. So I will definitely read more of her stuff, but I probably know more in this series.
Yeah. Great.
Mm. But I would also highly recommend, like, I would recommend this book too. And
I
agree
with
Tara.
Treasure it.
Yeah, I think it's a treasure.
I'll reread it.
And I agree that I think it stands alone.
Yeah, I don't think you need to read. Like, I was.
Especially if you've read another romance novel. You don't need to read the first book to understand everything that happens in it.
No. But I would only want to know about the two cousins.
Same. And that's it.
That's it.
Thank you very much for joining us again. And we are so looking forward to spending a whole nother year with you. Ooh. Thank you for staying with us for, you know, more of your time. We really appreciate it. And next week we will bring you another
spoiler-free
recap, review, and maybe recommendation for whatever we read that week and for all the weeks in 2022. And until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.